Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Chittletow from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Chandler, Arizona is Matt Silverman. Matt is a Senior Manager for Export Controls at ASML. And we're going to be talking today about compliance champions or ambassadors. Matt, first of all, thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. It's my pleasure.
Ours as well. Now, there's been a lot more discussion lately about the use of champions or ambassadors as a way to extend the reach of the compliance team. From your perspective, how can they help? And really, a series of questions all at once is sort of, how can they help? What's an easy but unreasonable expectation for them? And what I mean is, what should you and should you not expect champions to help with?
Yeah, thanks. It's a good question, Adam. And I think especially nowadays, champions are becoming more and more common to have champions networks and programs in different companies. And especially even with what's happened with COVID-19 and people being able to travel less, having dedicated ambassadors or champions at different sites can really, really be helpful, especially if compliance leaders themselves aren't able to travel and be on site. So one of the biggest advantages of having champions is if you don't have the budget to have a compliance leader at every site or within every department or sector, having that champion at that site can help you to minimize your budget issues while also having what I like to call kind of the eyes and ears of compliance at a different site. So champions can be there to help you to spread awareness, help you to push out different policies or procedures, and also to make you, the compliance leader, aware of issues that might be arising at that site. So a champion who may be, you know, thousands or hundreds of miles away at a place where you don't work and don't have a chance to visit very often, they can let you know about local issues going on that may have a compliance impact. And of course, I work in export controls, so I'm a little biased or geared toward export compliance issues that come up, but of course, compliance issues can arise with FCPA issues, sexual harassment issues, employment issues, all different other types of compliance sectors. So they can really be helpful. It's what I like to call a symbiotic relationship, right? You use them to help spread the word and create awareness, and they at the same time can educate you. A lot of the times we use champions at our company to spread messages at local meetings or events that are going on, to kind of to have a representative at that local meeting who can remind people about maybe a new policy or a new procedure, a new compliance issue at the company. And then you can use champions to perform a number of different responsibilities. So one is, you know, letting employees at that site or at that department know that they can go to the champion if they have a question or they even want to make a report with regard to a certain potential violation or issue that has arisen. And sometimes your champions can even give training to a certain extent, a train the trainer program. Now that's going to differ depending on what kind of champion they are. For certain types of areas of compliance, training a champion isn't really necessary or isn't really feasible. But for others, it may be. So your champions really can perform a number of different duties or responsibilities, but mainly what they're there for is to be a proactive compliance partner, right? To be the eyes and ears, to take reports from employees, to direct employees who may have questions back to a centralized compliance function. What they're not there for is to be the subject matter expert, right? So your champions should not be expected to give very substantive answers or to tell employees necessarily that what they're doing is compliant or is not compliant. Now that may differ depending on, again, the substantive area. But for example, export controls, it can be very nuanced and can be very honestly complex in terms of a lot of the laws and regulations. So the goal isn't to make compliance champions little mini lawyers or mini compliance professionals. It's to help them be aware of what the rules are, be aware of what the internal policies are, and to direct employees to the right people, to the right place, so that they can get the further instruction that they need.
And I think that's a very good balance that you're describing there of what is feasible and what's not. And especially, by the way, in export controls, where, for example, names can come off and on the list on a daily basis, you got to be very careful about that. Now, when an organization is considering putting together its own, you know, network of compliance champions, when should the compliance team involve the business unit in the planning for the network? And what's helpful for getting them on board and seeing the value in doing this?
Yeah, great question. So my advice is always to get buy-in from management, from the business ahead of time and as early as possible as you can. So if you talk to the heads of the business unit, the heads of certain sectors or sites or upper management, to get that buy-in ahead of time and to educate them on what your plans are, it really helps to mitigate any potential pushback that you're going to get. Which isn't to say that no matter when you do it, you're still going to get some pushback, but really letting the business and upper management know ahead of time what your plans are is really helpful. So what I would advise is to try to explain the concept of a champions network to the business, to management fully, so that they understand the purpose of champions. Generally, they understand it, right? Generally, the business understands, especially at a company that may have a small compliance group, they'll understand that, okay, we have a small compliance department. We only have a limited number of compliance professionals. So they will hopefully understand the importance of using folks that are maybe in HR, in engineering, in sales, to kind of be those compliance focals and to help. But sometimes they don't understand initially, right? Sometimes they may look at you and say, hey, why are you asking other people to do your job for you? Which is a very common and not completely unreasonable initial response. Because if you start telling people you're going to pull people away from their primary job duties to help with compliance, you're going to get some pushback. So my advice would always be get the buy-in ahead of time. Explain slowly and once and twice and three times if you need to what the purpose is, right? It's not to make them subject matter experts. It's not to have them do your job for you. It's to be those eyes and ears, right? It's to be the person, the trusted person within the company who may be on site, who may be someone that they know, that they trust, who they can go to initially instead of sending an email to a centralized compliance group who they don't maybe know and haven't worked with before. And so letting the business know about it ahead of time, explaining the concepts, and really putting together, if you can, a formal implementation plan. And that can be, you know, a 10 or 20 slide PowerPoint, if you need to, that really explains, here's what the plan is, here's how we're going to implement it, here's how we're going to recruit champions. Maybe you even have in there a charter for what your plans are and how you expect to roll out a champions program. And if you can present that at a quarterly or monthly leadership meeting, that can be very helpful so that then you can take questions, right? You can be open to constructive feedback and criticism, and you will probably get it. You will probably get a few people who may say to you, you know, this doesn't work well the way you've structured it, or it's too ambitious, or it's not ambitious enough. And then you can be there to take that constructive criticism and maybe come back a few weeks later and say, you know, I've gathered your input. I appreciate it. Now I'm going to redesign my plan. And that way everyone has buy-in, right? That way you're not rolling out a program without input and buy-in from the business. So that would be my advice, is to really start out getting as much buy-in as possible, as early on as possible, being open to that constructive criticism and feedback, and really laying out a formalized, if you can, implementation plan so that there's going to be no surprises. And then once you have your champions network implemented, continue to work with the business, right? Continue to seek input from them. How is the champions program or network going for you? Have you gotten positive or negative input from your employees, et cetera? So continue to work with the business, both in the initial implementation as well as throughout the implementation.
Well, that's good advice because, I mean, what you want is for people, not just the compliance team, but the whole organization to feel as if they own compliance. And by, soliciting that input and continuing to listen to it and adjust based on it, it's a great way to have more people a part of things and not just because there's somebody who's a part of their team who has a compliance role. Now, when you go to hire or bring on board your champions, what should you look for them and what's the best way to recruit them?
Yeah, so in terms of recruiting champions, my thought is that having diversity in terms of experience and thought is a good thing, right? So ideally, you want to recruit people from different sectors of the business, different sites, different locations, and different titles. You don't want to have 20 champions who are all executive directors, and you don't want to have 20 champions who are all junior analysts, right? So having people with different levels of experience, knowledge, and definitely spread throughout the company is a good thing. Ideally, you want to find champions who are employees that are trusted, who know their sites well, who at least have enough experience to know how their sites function, what types of compliance issues may arise, and how those have been addressed in the past. And then ideally you want employees who volunteer to be champions, right? There's this expression voluntold. Ideally you don't want to have employees who are voluntold to be champions. You want people who want to do the job or at least have some interest in it, as opposed to just being assigned to it, where you may have, in that case, employees who are reluctant. So the best way I'd say to recruit, there's a few things. One is to use your internal communications team. Often, if you go to your internal communications and say, "What's the best way to get this message across?" they'll have some good input for you. So at our company, at other companies I've worked with or for, there's internal social media sites, there's internal newsletters, and obviously there's the always trustworthy email to send out and advertise that you're looking to recruit champions. Now, my advice would be before you start sending out any kind of mass emails or putting anything on an internal site, that of course you make sure that you're getting the approvals that you need and you're following whatever kind of internal policies there are in terms of advertising. But assuming that you can do that and there are internal channels that you can use those social media sites internally, use those newsletters, send out emails, and let employees know that you're recruiting champions and what the purpose of it is. As well, talk to your local leaders, talk to HR reps, talk to managers, talk to employees who have been at the company for a while, and say, we're looking to recruit a champions network. Who would you recommend? And you'll probably get some good recommendations, some good names, and then you can go to that person directly. You can go to their manager and say, you were recommended as someone who's a trusted leader at your site, at your department. We're putting together this network. Do you have any interest? Or talk to a manager and say, who on your team do you think would make a good champion? Again, I think it's important that people volunteer, but in many cases, people are very happy to be appointed by their manager, right? They see it as kind of a badge of honor that their manager thinks that they would be a good champion. And then the other
Well,
way to recruit, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
no, I'd say it would seem like it's a vote in your integrity by your manager.
Yeah, absolutely. So, to just go to a manager and say, "Hey, you've got 15 people on your team. I really need someone on your team or within your site. Can you assign a champion for me?" A lot of people will view that as a positive thing. Again, you don't want to assign a champion who really, really doesn't want to do the job and who's really hesitant. But yeah, it can really be an integrity move and something that people look to as kind of a badge of honor to be assigned as a champion. And then lastly, I'd say, as a compliance leader, you may do trainings annually, monthly, biweekly. At the end of those trainings, why not mention, "Hey, while I'm here, while I'm talking to you, if anyone has any interest in being a champion," and then give your little elevator speech. Give your 2 minute, 1 minute speech about what the Champions Network is, why it's important, what the responsibilities are, and say, when this call is over, when this meeting is over, send me an email and let me know let me know if you're someone that might be interested in being a champion.
Well, I think, you know, one of the things you made a good point there is that don't think about this as something you do once, but something that you're constantly recruiting for, even if you don't need a champion right now. By talking about this program, you know, you're sowing the seeds for people who may in the future want to step up for this and give people an opportunity to see compliance as something that not that they just have to follow, but that they can become a part of. Well, Matt, thank you for sharing these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SECE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.